talk a lot about God being our Father. And we kind of understand that. Why? Because we understand the word Father. We talk about Jesus, God the Son, or Jesus being our Savior. But this third person of the Trinity, you know, God is a triune God. He's Trinitarian. He's three, but yet he's one. So the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, many times can be confusing to us. How does God the Holy Spirit operate in our life? Because when we think of the word Spirit, what do we oftentimes think of? Something scary. Something we, you know, coming close to Halloween, there's a lot of scary movies on television right now. Now, I told you when we started this series, I don't watch scary movies because they scare me. I don't like to get scared. So I don't watch Freddy and Jason or whatever weird new movies out there. The only scary movie I've ever watched, Sergio, is that movie It. It was scary. I don't like clowns now because of that movie. Don't watch it. But you hear the word Spirit and you think of scary things. And so how can the Holy Spirit operate in our lives? What's his role for you and I? Well, first and foremost, so you'll know who is the Holy Spirit, is that the Spirit of God, he is the third person, meaning he is a person. And so a person, just like you and I, are people. Therefore, what do? You get to know one another, don't we? As people, we can speak to one another. Well, guess what? What we're going to find out today is the same with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was sent by someone that we trust. You and I all trust Jesus. That's why we're here today. We trust in Jesus, or at least we're investigating of who this Jesus may be. Is he real? And so most of us in this room, we trust Jesus, so much so that a lot of us pray to Jesus. We pray to Jesus about our children, don't we? Lord, rescue my children. Lord, change my life. And so Jesus is the one who introduces you and I to the Holy Spirit. And he tells us who the Holy Spirit is. He uses terms that you and I can use because he is, the Holy Spirit is the one who lives down on the inside of us. He is a person. So what that means is he is not an it, or he's not an impersonable force. This is not Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is not you and I using the force. That's not what Jesus is talking about. But there is a power that comes when the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And this power, friends, is available, good news, to every single one of us. The Holy Spirit is not a respectable person. He is for all of us. No matter how smart you are, no matter how dumb you are, there's no dumb people. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, the Holy Spirit is available to every single one of us. So let's dive in this morning and let's discover who is this Spirit that lives in each and every one of us and really desires to direct our lives, because that's really what I want to see happen today. I want you to become more in tune with the Holy Spirit, because we're going to see this morning, he will guide us and direct us into all things that God the Father has for us. So let's start in John chapter 14. My little note came off. It fell somewhere. Did I step on it? Y'all been watching it the whole time. Y'all tell me that. I look weird up here. Just interrupt me. That looks weird. Anytime. It's like having something on my face. John 14. So we're going to do a little Bible study this morning, okay? So if you didn't read your Bible all week, that's not okay, but you're going to get it in right now. John chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 15. We're going to be jumping from John 14. We're going to look at some in John 15. We're also going to skip over to Luke 24. Then we're going to close out with Acts. And in the middle of this message, we're really going to have someone talk about how the Holy Spirit really brought wisdom and revelation, opened his eyes up to who this Jesus really is. It's going to be great. John 14, we're going to start in verse 15. Here's Jesus introducing you and I to the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus has a reason of doing this. Jesus is doing this because why? He is about to leave, right? Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to die, be buried 3 days, and rise from the dead. And he's telling these men and women that are following him what he's about to do. He's saying things like, I'm no longer going to be with you. Now, you have to understand, that caused a little bit of fear to arise on the inside of them. Jesus was doing some great things. I mean, he was feeding 5,000 people with two loaves, a small loaf and some small fish. And so they're going to all-you-can-eat buffets. You can imagine, Jesus, don't leave. We're eating real good. We want you to stay. But it was more than just that, because Jesus is talking to them about taking over the world. But now their great leader is leaving them. So here's what he says to them to bring comfort. He says in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. It's a key word for us today, helper. This is one of the ways, one of the terms Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit to us, that he's our helper. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now, he's not talking about two different spirits. We believe in one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in multiple spirits. So he's not talking about two different spirits, okay? Still talking about the Holy Spirit. He's our helper, but he also is the Spirit of truth. He says, whom the world cannot receive, meaning it's only for those who confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. I love what Jesus says to them, but you know him. I'm sure they're thinking, Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about, but we don't know him. Who is he? You ever had anybody introduce you to someone and say, hey, man, you know Jack? Yeah, you know Jack. You're like, I don't know Jack. What you talking about? This is how the disciples probably felt. No, Jesus, I don't know him. But he says, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's skip over to verse 25. He goes on. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. Here we go. Here's our key word. But the helper, and he's very specific here, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So we're seeing some of the ways that the Spirit of God helps us. Number one, he's the Spirit of truth. He's our helper. But here we have Jesus telling us that he does what? He teaches us all things. That means what? That he actually does speak to you and I. Now, this is not weird. You may hear people say, you know, my wife even said it this morning. I felt the Lord say. Have you heard people say that before? And if you're new to the faith or never been around that, like I was when I first got saved, that was weird to me. Because I didn't think or really have any understanding that God is a speaking God. Number one, I didn't think he spoke. And number two, how does this God who seems so far away, who oftentimes seems irrelevant to my life, how does he speak to people? Well, Jesus is teaching us that he does speak, and he speaks through the Holy Spirit. This is how he talks to you and I. And we're going to find out here in a little bit how we can be confident and assured that this is the Spirit of God and not my own thoughts, or not another spirit, which would be a demonic spirit, trying to persuade me or get me to do something that is not of Jesus. But he does speak. The Holy Spirit speaks. And here's the good news. He doesn't just speak to pastors. He doesn't just speak to the super Christian. He doesn't just speak to those who stand on this stage. Jesus didn't say that, did he? He speaks to all of us. Every single one of us that are Christians, every single one of us that have given our life over to Jesus, you can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, saying to your family, saying to your children, saying for your future of your life. You can hear just as good as I can. There's no junior Holy Spirit. Like I got the big Holy Ghost and you got a junior version of him. Because you know, you're way down there. Pastor Lance is way up here. He's real holy. Yeah, talk to my wife. There's no junior. No, you receive the Holy Spirit. So what does he do? He teaches us all things. And he goes on to say, he says, thank God for this. He brings to our remembrance. Man, all things. I'm saying all that I have said to you. That's good, because I oftentimes forget what Jesus has said. My mind is not very strong, and so many times I forget. Man, I have to apologize. Sometimes I forget y'all's names. You introduce yourself to me. Yeah, exactly. Don't give away my secret. If I ever call you champ, I might have forgotten your name. Why are you giving my secrets away, Doug? Not cool. That was not from the Holy Spirit. That was a demonic spirit. But I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance all things that Christ has said. As I read this Bible, which is important, Jesus is speaking to me, but yet the Holy Spirit, in a sense, somehow, I don't know how he does it. Well, he is the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus too. And so he reminds me of what Christ has said. So this is a huge help in my life because all of us have decisions that we have to make. And so what we can do, friends, is we can go to the Holy Spirit and ask him, Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? Now, again, this might be a little bit weird if you've never done it before. It's kind of like talking to yourself in a mirror. You ever look in your mirror, yourself in the mirror and start talking to yourself? Kind of seems weird. This might seem like that, a little bit weird, a little bit awkward. But see, again, he's our helper. The Holy Spirit is our friend. If you read on, he talks about he's our comforter. He's our counselor. What do you do with a counselor? You ask a counselor questions. And so you and I can ask, Holy Spirit, hey, what do you think about this? Holy Spirit, is there anything, I do this a lot, that I need to know about my children? You know, our children have a difficult time articulating their thoughts and their feelings and what they're going through. And so I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there anything that my babies are going through that they're not telling me? Anything that I need to know about so that I can come to them as their father, as their covering, and help them? And the Holy Spirit will just begin to speak to me about some things. Well, if he speaks to us, how does he speak to us? Okay, Pastor Lance, great. I got it. Holy Spirit, speak to us. He's my helper. Man, he guides me into all truth. He brings remembrance. Well, how does he do so? You know, in 1 Kings chapter 19, you have this story of this man named Elijah. Elijah is actually on the run. He's scared to death of his life, for his life. He finds himself in a cave, and he's crying out to God for God to do something. God, will you move? Will you do something? I'm on the run. I'm scared I'm going to die. God, will you move? And it's interesting how God shows up to Elijah. Elijah talks about there's this massive wind that comes, and this wind begins to blow. Elijah obviously is seeing and hearing the sound of this wind, and he's wondering, is this God moving? But he hears something that he says the God was not in the wind. Then this massive fire comes. This fire begins to burn, and he's immediately thinking, this must be God. But it says clearly that God was not in the fire. But it's so interesting what Elijah heard next. He heard the wind, saw the wind, heard the fire, saw the fire. But next he's heard what the Bible says, a still, small voice. It was like a whisper. God began to whisper to Elijah. He began to encourage him. He began to strengthen him. And oftentimes when it comes to the Holy Spirit speaking to me, I believe it's exactly the same as Elijah experienced. It's a still, small voice. It's a whisper that comes from God. You're going to make it. You can do it. I love you. See, oftentimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it's not this long, drawn out, articulate, deep theological truth that he brings to me. No, usually it's just very small, simple statements. I'm with you. I'm for you. I love you. You're going to make it. These simple whispers. And it's the whispers of God, my friend, that builds faith on the inside of us so that we can follow Jesus into what he has for us. Still small whispers. I'm thankful for that because I couldn't take a long, drawn out. I would get bored. Lord, you're taking too long. I need something short, something sweet. God knows how you and I operate. He knows we need those quick statements, those short sentences to help us get through what we're facing. It's just the whispers of God. Well, how can I be assured then that is of God? Well, number one, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it will always, friends, hear me, always come in line with this right here. Always, always come in line with the Word of God. People saying, I heard God, outside of this or how cults get started. That's not Jesus. That's not the Holy Spirit. That is a demonic spirit, a cult speaking to you. But the Holy Spirit always lines up with the Word of God. And so I know that the Spirit of God is speaking to me because why? I've heard it many times by simply reading this Bible, that this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Also, when it comes to how I know, this is specifically true if you're married. If you're married, the Spirit of God will speak to you and your spouse. And your spouse. If I feel like the Holy Spirit is asking my family or wanting my family to do something, I don't just start doing it by myself and then turn to my wife and say, hey, babe, you just need to submit and follow me. I mean, she's going to look at me and think, you must be crazy. And so just because the Holy Spirit speaks something to me, what do? I share it with my wife. I say, baby, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying this to us. What do you think? I remember when we moved here to Clarksville 14 years ago. Let me just tell you, Holy Spirit was not speaking to my wife to move here as he was speaking to me. She was like, we have a new baby. My family's here. We are not going anywhere. But I felt like the Lord was saying it. And so what did I do? I allowed the Holy Spirit. I gave the Holy Spirit time. I gave my wife to speak to her. And then over time, what happened? Man, I feel like, Lance, this is exactly what we're supposed to do. So if he speaks to one, he will also speak to the other. If you're single, this is why you have a church family. This is why I have community groups. This is why you have pastors. That you come and you talk to them and say, look, I feel like the Lord is saying this, but I want to bounce it off you. Man, that will protect you if you would do that. And the last thing is this, is the Holy Spirit will never just speak to you. It goes along with number two. He always will speak to those who are covering you as well. You know, my encouragement to many of you guys is take advantage of the pastors and the leaders that you have in this church. God has brought you here for a reason. And that reason is so that you don't have to walk alone. So that you can have other men and women of God that you can stand with, that you can bounce things off with. But it takes you taking that step to put yourself in an environment, yes, on Sunday morning, but also other environments like Starting Point and community groups so relationships can be formed. So the Holy Spirit, so you'll know, yes, this is what God is saying to me. I'm throwing it to my pastors. I'm bouncing it off my friends in my group. So I know for sure this is what the Lord is saying to me. You know, this morning, you know, God is in the business of changing people, of transforming people. He's in the business of changing people that say that they don't believe in him. This morning, we have an amazing story that you're going to hear about a man who really didn't believe in God, had many questions about who God was, what God wants for his life, really didn't think that God was even out there. If he was, thought he wasn't very powerful because of the things that he saw in our world. And I believe today that as you listen to his story, some of you here today are going to be just like him. You have questions about God, questions about who he is, or questions about does he really even exist? This whole Jesus thing, does it really even exist? And I believe his story is going to impact your life because the Holy Spirit has come into this man's life in a radical way, has opened his eyes, and you're going to be amazed at what he's done in his life. I want you guys to give a big hand clap to my friend, Wes. Wes, come on up here. Give a hand clap for Wes. Hey, Vince, hand me this microphone before you walk away from me, bud. I'm so proud of Wes. Now, Wes is not a public speaker like me, but Wes, all week I've been praying for Wes and his wonderful wife. Because I knew this moment is going to be so powerful for you guys and so powerful for him. Let's give one more hand clap to my friend Wes as he shares the story.
Thank you, Pastor Lance.
You're welcome, bud.
So good morning. My name is Wes.
Hold that microphone up, though. There you go.
He told me I had to sing into it. I just didn't believe him. He's right. So today I'd like to share you my story about going from a skeptic to a believer. So growing up, I never really attended church. Whenever I did, it was very rarely. I was too young to understand the importance of God and what it could have, the impact it could have on someone's life. So it never really stuck with me. And when I got old enough to make my own decisions, I no longer attended a church of any kind. I believed in a higher power, but I never really bought into the whole Christianity thing and all that comes with it. The Bible, a man named Jesus, a man named God. I believe that the stories in the Bible were made up by man to try and get us to believe in a supernatural being. As I grew up, I had moments of being interested, little faint moments, so I'd bring my questions to people that claimed to be very strong in their faith, of all different religions, Christianity of all kinds, Catholic, all of them. And they would always get to a point where my questions would give me the answer of, well, you just got to believe.
Yeah.
Or you just need to trust in the Bible. And I'm a factual-based person. My job in the military, even, it's always been analyst. So I break everything down. And if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, there's not facts in it, don't believe it. So up until about 6 months ago, I would have considered myself a very strong skeptic. I was even more skeptical about the church and what their intentions were. And I'll get to that in a second. Something I added while we were sitting here, my skepticism really, really set in whenever we got the diagnosis from my youngest son. It was, how could God do this? Without getting into too much detail, it's a extremely rare genetic disorder. They don't know how to fix it. They can't fix it. There's no cure. And there's end-stage stuff that could happen. So going back to the church, all they talked about, or all I saw that they talked about was wanting your money. Because in my eyes, again, that's all they talked about, tithing. Every morning, we hear it. We hear about tithing. And I didn't understand what those intentions were. So I had a negative thought about it. I'm sure some of you are here today and understand why I was so skeptical, because you have the same thoughts about God and the church. So about 6 months ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Demetrius Pruitt. Boss, I promise that's the only time I'll use your first name. So Demetrius attends here at Bethel, and he has a heart for helping men to discover God and very much... help you understand that he is very much real and very much alive. He gives you the facts. And just real quick, because he's done so much for my life, can we give him a hand? So he noticed at work a notebook I had and had a scripture on the front of it. He asked me if I was a man of God, and I very tactfully told him no, and that the only reason why I had this notebook is because my tablet slid in it perfectly and it zipped up so my kids couldn't see that it was my tablet. It didn't stop him, though. He continued to ask questions, and I explained to him why, in detail, I was as skeptic as I was. After about an hour and a half of talking with him, he was able to give me answers that I've never received before. And it sparked an interest, and for the first time, I openly prayed. I'm nervous, so I had to write it down, guys. Sorry. So, during prayer and after prayer, I'm not going to lie, I was uncomfortable. It was my first time to openly pray with someone. However, his prayer felt genuine to me. And I would say that was when the spiritual battle started in my heart. He extended the offer to go to church with him that coming Sunday, and I humbly accepted. He doesn't know this until now, but I only accepted because he was my boss, and I'd only known him for 15 minutes. So I had no real intentions of going to church. Sunday rolled around, and I mentioned to my wife, Rachel, that we'd been invited to go to church, but I purposely only gave her 10 minutes in hopes that she would say, oh, we don't have enough time to get the kids ready, we'll put it off. Much to my surprise, She jumped up and said yes, and I have never seen her or the kids get ready so fast. So on the way to church, I didn't know what to expect. I haven't stepped in a church as an adult for my entire life. All the church I did go to, I was real young, so they had cookies and snacks, and of course I was having a great time. But I remember walking in and having this feeling of refreshment, of just meeting so many genuinely nice people. And it was so surprising, and it warmed my heart, which needed it because it was cold. So we were waiting for service to get started, and that is when I met this random mammoth of a man named Sergio. So I have a personal bubble. I did until Sergio. He has got a way of popping it. But he came up to me and he started talking to me. And whenever he talked to me and he asked me about my job and he just asked me about me and it had nothing to do with Christianity, but it felt genuine to me. Like it felt like he was honestly curious about who I was and what I was about. And I feel like that's not very common in this world at all, to have genuinely interested people in you. So, but as I mentioned, I had a huge issue with the church asking for money all the time. But lo and behold, the very first service I sat in covered tithing. he's got jokes. So my wife Rachel sat there completely terrified. As after I talked to her, she explained to me that she was terrified I'd never come back. Which if you would have told me at the beginning that that's what it was about before I walked in, I probably would have gave her 2 minutes to get ready. So you see, Rachel had been praying to God to get a hold of my heart for 6 years. Every day for 6 whole years, she would pray for me, and she never gave up. She will tell you that it was a long 6 years, but that God's blessings far surpass the things we desire for ourselves. So the very first service being tithing was covered by Pastor Lance, and he delivered a sermon on tithing in a way that I never heard before, and it really spoke to me. And he asked me to put that line in there. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was really in here. I'm just kidding. So, yeah. So whenever I was sitting there and he was hitting all those hard truths, that's when I realized that if I was able to come to church and sit through a whole service on my least favorite subject, that I must be in the right place. So days went by where I got to sit down with Demetrius at lunch and have some Q&A sessions. These would be essential to my growth in faith. However, he never failed to answer my questions about God, who he is, and what he wants for us, and he just continued to pique my interest. I knew I had to keep coming back on Sundays to learn more. Next, I signed up for a bunch of community groups, the first being Starting Point. And I got to tell you, that class is amazing. No matter who you get taught by, that see people in the audience that really brings, just as Pastor Lance was talking about earlier, that brings you together. And there are so many people that are going through the same thing that you're going through. I promise. Old, young, it doesn't matter. Every day I went, I was like, wow, man, I'm going through that too. Or, wow, I didn't know that they were going through that. The other one that I signed up for was the evangelism class. The first night of the evangelism community group, I got to experience the power of a praying Sergio. Now, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is an experience. So, as he and Demetrius prayed over me, I felt a very deep burning sensation. As if I was on fire. In my core, from my belly button to my sternum, there was a heat that I've never, ever felt before. And for 6 years I was a fireman before switching to the job I am now. And I've been into some very hot places. And this surpassed anything that I've ever, ever imagined. Since that night, I've had other encounters. I could talk for a long time. And I would love to answer any of your questions afterwards. I'm sitting up here up front. But Sergio hooked me into his Wednesday night class with his wife, Katie. And that only fueled the fire even more. Today, I am engulfing myself in all things Christ, and I continue to completely be consumed with getting answers. When I realized that all the naysayers and skeptics were wrong, and that I had been wrong my whole life too, on September 12th, I gave my life to Christ by confessing him as my Lord and Savior of my life, and I've never looked back. I changed my perspective on my son as well, as far as how can God do that. So the way I see it is God has given me the ability to raise a testimony. He's given us the ability to bring me closer. And then for anybody that's sitting out there that, you know, my son or my grandson or whoever in your family or your loved ones are going through, all he's doing is giving the ability to show the world that he's real and he's out there. So I'm still new in my walk with God, but one thing that remains is that I'm still yearning to get knowledge about him. Who is he? What is his heart like? What does he want for all mankind? And what is my purpose through him? I still have questions, and I will continue to seek those answers. But with unshakable certainty, I believe Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. Thank you.
You know, I'm going to bring up Rachel. Rachel, come on up here, sweetheart. This is Rachel, guys. Give a big hand clap to Rachel as she comes. You know, Rachel is obviously, as you heard in this story, God has used her in a tremendous way to really change her husband's heart. And that should be encouraging to a lot of you ladies here in the room. Men can be very prideful. Men can be very arrogant. Men can be very stubborn. But yet, there is something called the power of a praying wife. The power of a praying wife. And that's exactly what Rachel did. I'm sure there was times of frustration. I'm sure there was times where she's thinking, God, why did you give me this man? Pastor Richard, come on up. But yet, she stood in faith. And Wes giving his story today, I mean, she stands behind that as a huge impact of what has happened in Wes's life. Rachel, great job, honey. Great job. See, what you hear from, Miss Jan, you come on up. What you hear from Wes's story is, number one, somebody actually had a mindset and a heart of, God, you want to use me at my workplace. Lord, you want to use me. Demetrius, thank you, Demetrius. Demetrius stepped out and began to talk, notice one little thing, and used that thing to see an open door in Wes's life. But now I need to use Demetrius when Wes came to church. You guys, because it wasn't just Sergio, it was others, stood around him, welcomed him. See, what happens when you do that is walls begin to come down in people's lives. Maybe if Wes would have came in and nobody would have greeted him, he might have sat there listening to that message saying, man, everything I thought about the church is exactly true. They don't like anybody. They're a holy huddle. And all they talk about is money. But yet, because somebody engaged him, hello, we're glad you're here, walls begin to come down. And he was able to sit there and listen to what was being said that Sunday. But also what happened? He began to take steps. He got an environment, starting point, community group. And his heart began to be softened and begin to be changed. Let this story encourage you today. No matter where you're at, Let it encourage you. Number one, that you have a story to tell. Wes shared with me earlier that he's been telling his story to others. Because why? It can change people's lives. Father, I thank you for Wes and Rachel. What I thank you, Lord, for their testimony today as a couple. Thank you for their children. Lord, even as he spoke about his son, God, we are praying, God, for healing upon his son. Lord, there is going to be a greater story that you're writing with this couple, Lord. Thank you that it's only began. Lord, I pray for my friends in this room, God, that listen to it. Lord, I pray you would speak to them. Holy Spirit, just as you spoke to Wes and Rachel, speak to them today. Lord, if there are questions, Lord, there's answers to those questions. And I pray, God, that ears would be open, Father, like never before. Lord, we love you. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Wes one more big hand clap. Thank you so much, Wes. You guys can step down.